fathers in a way that shows the love of Jesus Christ so that the gospel is shared and God is glorified. This brings me to our main idea. So if you're going to remember one thing from this message, this is what you're going to want to remember. I've always wanted to say this part. So, and if you are taking notes, and I hope you are, you're going to want to write this one down. Being pro-mom means being proactively pro-life. As excited as I am to be leading this ministry, it is heartbreaking to me that there is a need for it. But the sad reality of our culture is that abortion is not just happening, but it is often encouraged. The state of being pregnant is defined as having a child or other offspring developing in the body with young or child. Now notice the key word here, child. The Bible tells us that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And as a mom, I can't tell you how much of a gift my daughters, Grace and Jenna, are. There is nothing better than seeing them smile, hearing them laugh, or having them run up and give me just the biggest hug. And it blows my mind that God chose me to be their mom. But there are millions of children, just like mine, who are not given the opportunity of life because of abortion. Abortion is defined as the removal of an embryo or fetus from the uterus in order to end a pregnancy. So notice I did actually use the same source for both definitions, and I did that because I want you guys to know I'm not trying to manipulate the definitions in any way to suit my own purposes. But if abortion means ending a pregnancy and pregnant means being with child, I think that most of us can agree that the most accurate definition of abortion is ending the life of a human child. According to the CDC, there were 638,139 abortions in the United States in 2015. This equated to 118 abortions for every 1,000 live births. It also is not mandatory for abortion clinics to provide this information to the CDC, so the number may in fact be higher. In the state of Michigan alone, 19.4% of pregnancies in 2015 were ended in abortion, which totaled 27,151 unborn children. That is just about one of every five pregnancies. And as I was looking over the statistics over the last 10 years or so, the numbers remained consistent. And so it hit me. 20% of an entire generation is being wiped out. Now, I have been working in the kids ministry here for 6 years. For many of you, I actually met your children before I met you. We typically have 70 kids on any given Sunday in the kids ministry, and 20% of 70 is 14. Now, this is just a small sample of our community, but I wanted to show you, this is what 14 children looks like. According to statistics, we should have 14 more little lives in there right now. We should have 14 more boys and girls that should be celebrating Mother's Day with their moms, but they're not here. Every day, it seems like we are hearing news about states passing these horrific laws that allow abortion up until birth. Our own lawmakers are even blocking legislation that makes it mandatory for abortion providers to provide everything medically necessary it will take to save the life of an abortion survivor. And the worst part of it all is that some people are not just okay with it, but they're actually defending it. I know from speaking with several of you that there has been a fire lit inside you, that something must be done. And I remember that morning when I saw and I heard about the law that passed in New York. And it was a good thing my boss actually wasn't there that day because I was basically just a warm body. Like, I didn't get anything done because my whole day I was just focused on the lives that were going to be lost and the men and women who don't know the consequences of their actions. I knew God was calling me to do something bigger, but it wasn't until that day that I knew what it was. For those of you who are newer to Stoney, I would like to shed some light as to why the pro-life movement is so important to me. I'm now 28, but as Randy said, when I was 16, I ran cross country, I wrote for the school newspaper, I held a part-time job, and a laundry list of extracurricular activities. I was one of the good kids, but I still found myself staring at a pregnancy strip in fear as it read pregnant. And within a span of 1 week, that pregnancy ended in abortion. Now, I'm only one person, but from the testimonies I have read and from the women I have talked to, I know that they have had the same, if not similar, experiences that I did. So I'm not going to go into all the gory details, but I do want to tell you of a shortened version of what a woman goes through when she walks into an abortion clinic. So she is entering into a completely full waiting room. It is actually so packed that people are sitting on the floor waiting for them to be called one by one. To the workers, she is just a number. She is just a time slot on their very busy schedule. The abortion industry has manufactured this lie that the choice of having an abortion should be between a woman and her doctor. But as she goes back for the procedure, the person who's going to be performing it is actually somebody she has never met until that moment. When she wakes up from the procedure, if she had anesthetic, she will wake up in a totally different room on a cot. And the minute she wakes up and she opens her eyes, she is ushered from that cot to a chair where she is given a heating pad for about 10 minutes and then sent on her way. It is cold, it is painful, and it is barbaric. It is something that leaves so many women with shame, regret, and grief. One woman wrote that after her abortion, she went from a sense of relief to a broken heart. I've said it before, and I will say it a million times. There is absolutely no freedom in abortion. There is only heartbreak for everybody involved. The majority of women who have abortions grow to regret it. And it's actually not surprising when you hear that 54% of post-abortive women were not even sure of their decision to go through with it at the time. Now, this type of regret, it is different from having that second piece of cake or spending too much money on a shopping trip. It is a life-altering, crippling regret. And in my experience, it took about 3 to 6 months to fully understand what I had done. And once I did, I started placing the blame on everybody but myself, and I became a master at the what-if game. What if I walked out of the clinic? What if I listened to that voice that was screaming at me to save the life of my unborn child? What if I told somebody else? What if I did that instead? What if? The horror of what I had done became a consuming black hole that I did not know I would ever be able to crawl out of. But fast forward my 16-year-old self to my almost 21-year-old self, and I was invited to Stony Creek Church for the first time. I was invited to see a baptism, but I did not know that the moment I stepped through these doors, my life was going to change forever. And through the love and support of family and friends, I was led to put my trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know I am forgiven for a sin that I don't know how I ever could be. Jesus paid for my sins and I have repented, but the guilt and all of the emotions that come with having an abortion, they will never, ever leave me. But through Jesus, they have become tolerable. Women are fighting for their rights and their freedom that does not exist. I stand before you, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you that we are the ones that need to fight. We need a fight for the unborn, and we need a fight for the men and women who don't know what they are doing. Now, some of you may be looking at me and thinking, Megan, how in the world does a woman not know what she is doing? Well, I can look you in the eye and tell you that I did not. I have been the scared teenager who did not know another way. And I have been the woman who has had to live with her remorse every day about a loss of a child at my own hands. I have to stand and say, I killed my own child. And no matter how many times I say that, it still hurts. I will gladly sit with you after service and tell you how there is not a day that I don't think about my son or daughter. There's not a day that I don't see my own daughters, Grace and Jenna, and wonder what their sibling would be like. And there is not a Sunday that I don't teach the bridge class and think, wow, my son or daughter should be sitting right next to them. So no, I did not know what I was doing because no one told me. But you know what? God is bigger than my guilt. God loves and seeks you no matter what you have done in your life. Romans 3:23-25 says, and help me out when we get to the yellow print. Everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. The free gift of God's grace makes all of us right with him. Christ Jesus paid the price to set us free. God gave him as a sacrifice to pay for your sins. So he forgives the sins of those who have faith in his blood. God did all of that to prove that he is fair. God knew I was going to become pregnant. And God knew I was going to end the life of my child. There was a woman in my life when I was 16 who told me shortly after I had an abortion that one day I may find myself speaking out about it. I may find myself helping women who find themselves in the same experience that I did. Now, I was a respectful teenager, so I remember sitting across from her at a kitchen table and just nodding like, yeah, sure, maybe. But on the inside, I was like, yeah, right. I'm never going to tell anybody about this. How could I? But God knew. God often takes our worst sins and turns them into our greatest calling. I am being called to fight for life, and I am asking you to join me. So now what? How can we fight as lifeguards? How can we as a church tackle the biggest controversy of our time? Well, the simplest thing we can do is give. Now, a portion of our regular tithes and offerings does go to benefit Crossroads Pregnancy Center. But if you are called to give more, you can contact me or the Care Center directly to learn how. We also kicked off this ministry with a needs drive a couple weeks ago. And for those of you who donated, thank you very, very much. Your generosity went to help many women who truly needed it. So look for future drives throughout our ministry, and let's proactively show God's love in a simple way. Second, we need to meet women where they are in their pregnancy, and this means having boots on the ground. Gracefully and compassionately offering women another chance. Women are scared, they are embarrassed, and they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be pushed. So this is something that is delicate. But would you come with us and stand outside an abortion clinic to peacefully and respectfully offer life to those who are entering and to respectfully offer and educate people on the pro-life course as they pass by? Simply put, would you be there? Would you be there for the women when they need you the most? Third, care centers actually offer counseling currently, but our ultimate goal is to bring it into the church. Counseling would include being a safe, judgment-free zone where men and women can share in their grief and learn to lean on Christ to help them through it. We can do this by offering counseling to pregnant women, post-abortive women, and fathers. So in this movement, we tend to focus on the women and the babies, and that is natural. But there is a third voice that is a part of this that often gets left out, and that is the father. And for many, it is just as painful for the father as it is for the mother. I've had the opportunity to speak with a man who has been dealing with the effects of an abortion for quite some time, and he has given me permission to share what he wrote with me to you. Having an abortion is something that has never left my mind and something I still live with every day. I wish we felt there was a better option back then. I wish we didn't feel compelled or trapped into the decision we made. I wish I had my son or daughter. Most of all, I wish that everyone offered time, love, support, and compassion to this cause. Having an abortion is something that will stick with you forever, whether you are the man or the woman. So part of this ministry is to share that love with the men as well. Now, lastly, the most proactive way to be pro-life is through youth partnership. So for all the teens, this is where you come in. I am speaking to you now. We need your help. We need your help to get this message into the middle schools and the high schools, because you are not too young to share it. It really wasn't that long ago that I was in high school, and I remember that the most influential people in my life were my friends, my classmates, and my teammates. So we need your help to share this message, to share that people are not alone and that they are worth so much more than what the world is telling them. And today, you are celebrating your mom. You are sitting here with us today because she chose you. No matter what the circumstances of your conception were, she chose you. She gave you life and love and support. So as you look at your mom, remember that being pro-mom is being pro-life. And being pro-life is being pro-woman. Not just for the unborn women that are going to grow into young adults, but for all women. Let me tell you how we can change the way our young women speak about being pro-life versus pro-choice. So as I look into the crowd, I see mothers who are teachers, mothers who are nurses, mothers who are successful entrepreneurs, mothers who stay at home, mothers who have raised multiple children, and mothers who are doing it completely on their own. And I think they're super women. And teens, you're celebrating your mom today, but you need to celebrate your moms every day. Tell the world just how amazing they are. Because when you celebrate your mom and celebrate motherhood, you are telling young women that their success is not determined by the things that they may miss out on in life because of children, but it is defined by the love, lessons, and life that she gives them. So how can you help? The first thing you can do is pray. Pray, 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 and when you are done, you can pray some more. Our God is powerful, and our God is a God of miracles. So pray with me that God will intervene in our nation, and he will change hearts. Pray with me that our lawmakers will turn and they will fight for what is right and what is just, and that they will put an end to this genocide. Pray with me for the lives of unborn children. Pray with me for the men and women who don't know what they are doing and who are going to find themselves in an unexpected pregnancy. Pray for somebody to interfere and that child will be saved. Consider getting involved with the lifeguard. There will never, ever be enough volunteers for this ministry as long as women are having abortions. Now, Galatians 6:9 says, "So let us not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." We absolutely cannot give up this fight. It is my biggest fear that the fire that is lit inside us will grow dim, and that as a Christian community, we will stand silent. But we cannot afford to let that happen. And quite honestly, we know better than that. So before I close, I did a lot of research on statistics with abortion in our country. And one alarming statistic that kept popping up was that one of every four women will have an abortion by the time she is 40. So if you are here today and you have been suffering from the effects of having an abortion, I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to earth as a man named Jesus Christ. And while being perfect and sinless, he died on the cross for your sins. 3 days after he died and was buried, he rose from the dead. He conquered the grave so that we can have everlasting life with him. So, if you are here and you are seeking help and forgiveness, all you have to do is ask Jesus into your heart. I promise you, you have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain by giving your life to Christ. So if you would like to, you can come up to the platform after service, and myself and the pastoral prayer team will be here to pray with you. I truly wish I was up here talking to you about anything else. Maybe the crazy adventures of motherhood that I have had, or celebrating the many mothers sitting here today that I know and love. There are a lot of days that are hard. There are a lot of days that feel like they're actually way over 24 hours long. But children are a gift. Children bring joy. So let's mark today as the day that we embark on ending abortion so that all children and all mothers can share in that gift. Let's proactively be pro-mom and pro-life together. Thank you, and happy Mother's Day. Thank you.